when you deal with the peace, when you deal with peace, and there's a lot could be said about peace, and there's a lot actually said about peace in the Bible. Actually, the word peace is found 431 times in your King James Bible. 431 times. That's it. If it wasn't mentioned but once, that'd be enough. But for emphasis of the subject, he mentions it 431 times in our Bible to, I believe, help kindly bring in the importance and the value of peace, of peace. And my soul, to think of sinners not having peace. And there's a lot, like I said, could be said about it. But I just want to deal with just some simple truths, just some simple little points that the Lord put in my heart. Actually, coming down the road from the funeral home, the Lord be speaking to my heart about this. And I want to, I even thought about having Brother Fultz preach tonight what he preached at the rest home last night. I mean, buddy, we had meeting in the rest home last night, and I told him, I said, brother, you better keep that message handy, because we may just get that just any time. So I even leaned that way, but I want the will of God, and I know that you want that as well. But I just want to talk about, first of all, this evening, for a few minutes, I want to talk about the pursuit of peace. The pursuit of peace. And I believe that's implied in this verse, verse 20 and 21. But the wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. There's an implication there that they're looking for it, but don't have it. They're looking for it. They're trying to find it. There's not a sinner on planet Earth that would tell you, I don't want no peace. They were not a sinner on planet Earth, no matter how wicked they are, would say, I don't want peace of mind. I don't want peace of heart. I don't want inner tranquility. I don't want it. There's not a one. They want it. They just don't want how you get it. Most of them don't. But there's the pursuit of peace. And I thought about this, how the devil has so powerful and so deceptive that he is able to convince sinners that peace can be found somewhere and at some point in their life. That's why that they keep on looking. That's why they go from bottle to bottle, from pill to pill, from party to party. They go from dope to dope. They go from this to that. And what are they looking for? They're looking for peace. They realize their last experience didn't give it to them. But the devil has got them so deceived and so convinced that if they could just get more of it, if they could go deeper with it, if they had more of it, amen, that somewhere in their life there would come a point that they would have peace. And they spend their life chasing what is non-existent. Because God says in this passage, emphatically, dogmatically, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. You spend your life looking for it. Have all you can get of this world. Drink it all. Taste it all. Do it all. See it all. Have it all. And you'll come to the end of your days and realize the devil's lied to you. The devil's lied to you. The pursuit of peace. Don't listen to don't believe the false assumption that I can find it. It's out there somewhere. Name one person that's of the world, that's never been born again, that's of the world, that's found it. Show me somebody in history. Show me one in a history book. Show me somebody in the Bible that tried to find peace apart from God that actually found it. It's non-existent. That's why God says it strongly. There's no peace. He didn't say there's some peace. He didn't say there may be a little here and there, but he said there's no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. In fact, he gives the portrait of it in verse 20. He said the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up the mire and dirt. The wicked are just like the sea. They can't rest. Night and day, 24/7, springtime, summertime, fall, winter, all of the oceans that are bordering our country, all of the oceans of other countries, it don't matter, they're all the same. Why? Because the wicked are the same. Doesn't matter what the birth certificate says. Amen. If you're not saved, God says that you are not. You don't have peace. You don't have that inner tranquility and peace of mind. But I thought about that false assumption, how that people are so blinded to think that it possibly could be found. It possibly. And we can preach it, it's not there. I can preach it, I can read it, I can even quote this verse. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And the devil will slip in and cause people to think they're an exception. They'll think that, oh, well, I can handle it. And you didn't find it, preacher, but I will. I'll find it. And they'll live that life and waste their life and chase all of those dreams that end up turning into nightmares and come to the end of the way to discover I've been chasing the non-existent. Solomon, when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he wrote that at the end of his life. A man that had it all, a man that seen it all, a man that did it all. If anybody on planet Earth could have testified of peace apart from God and the will of God, it would have been Solomon. But Solomon says it's all vanity. All the wealth that he had, and he had enough to where it even absolutely confounded the Queen of Sheba. When she heard of all that he had, she drove the distance, rode the distance, traveled the distance to come. And when she saw Solomon in all of his glory, she said, the half was never told me. But Solomon pins it down at the end of his life. Don't do as I done. Don't do as I did. Don't follow my footsteps. Don't listen to the false assumption that peace can be found in this world. Amen. He had it all, done it all, seen it all, but there is the pursuit of peace. Everybody's after it. Everybody's looking for it. Those that's out there tonight, and they're drinking it up, and they're partying it up, and all of those kinds of things. What is it that they're really looking for? They're miserable on the inside. They're empty on the inside. They have no meaning on the inside. And they think that just, if I could just do more, maybe if I just went to more parties, maybe if I drank more, maybe if I smoked more, maybe if I did more, had more, amen, then I'd have it. The bottom line is this world doesn't have it. They don't have the key to it. They don't own the facility of it. This world cannot create it, cannot manufacture it. There is only one source, and we're going to deal with that in just a moment. Not only do we see the pursuit of peace that I believe is implied here, that they're looking, but God says each time you look, you come up empty. You come up with a no, N-O, no, emphatic, no peace, saith my God to the wicked. And I think that he's the authority on the matter. Why and how could God make such an emphatic, dogmatic statement? How can he do that? There is no peace. There's no grounds there for any ands, ifs, or buts. How could God do that? Well, one, he's God. He knows. But here's what I thought about coming down the road. The reason God could make such a statement like that is because he arranged it so. God, the Creator, arranged it that you will find no peace as a creature until you know the Creator, until the Creator occupies the throne of your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And that brings me to my second thought, and that is the people of peace. There's the pursuit of peace, but then there is the people of peace. He identifies one class of people here in verse number 21. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. But not everybody, thank God, falls into that category. Before salvation, we did. Before salvation and apart from salvation, we all fell into the category of the wicked. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all fell into that status. There's only two groups, saved folk and lost folk. There's only those that are wicked and those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the only two sources that there is. Amen. And thank God I'm in that crowd. As I read verse 20 and 21, I said, I used to be in that crowd. That used to define me. I could read that about the wicked like a troubled sea which cannot rest. And I could say, amen, I've been there. I've been there. Amen. No peace. Oh, my soul. Amen. I'm about to get excited. No peace. N-O. Amen. But you know what? Now I know peace. There was a time I had no peace, N-O, but now I know peace, K-N-O-W. I know peace as a saved person, as a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. As if to say, if you'll deal with your wicked status, you can find peace. There's no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Well, deal with your wickedness and you can find peace. But you got to deal with your wickedness in the right way. You can't deal with your sin with reformation and restraint. Amen. And you know, you can't do all that. I want you to know God didn't recap me when he saved me. Brother Webb, I don't know how it is now. I mean, I've certainly not bought any in years. But used to back in my younger years, I mean, money wasn't real plentiful, and mostly all we run on our vehicles, or Daddy'd run on his vehicles, was recaps. I mean, you could tell it too, buddy. I mean, all you had to do is look at the sidewall, and you could see where the tire went in and met the cap, and it was glued on and all of that. And you wouldn't know if it would be on this curve or off the next curve. You're going down the road, and it's flop, 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 flop. Amen. I want you to know God didn't recap me, which only takes the old and the worn out. Amen. It's still the old tire. It was still the old tire and just took and put a little bit of new tread on the outside to make it look like something. Are you listening? I'm glad God did not recap me. I'm glad God did not remodel me. No, sir, buddy. He didn't take the old and kindly worked on it a little bit and made a new something new out of the old. No, no. That's not creation. If you want to know what creation is, go to Genesis. God didn't take something and make something. God didn't take something, Brother Frank, and make something. No, in creation, God took nothing and made something. Woo! You're looking, whatever, something there is up here preaching. I want you to know there was a time that I was a nothing. Yes, amen. Woo! But there's the people of peace, God's people. God's people ought to be living that way. We ought to be living like that. Amen. Amen. How do you become God's people? How do you get there? Well, you got to be saved. Listen to this verse of scripture right here. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Amen. How do you get peace? How do you get peace? You got to deal with your wickedness. How do you deal with your wickedness? By faith. Therefore, by faith. Faith in what? Faith in who? Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. that God judged my sin in Christ on the cross, and he paid my debt in full. Amen. Glory to God, that's right. Amen. That's how you get saved. Thank God. Amen. Colossians 1, I'm getting ahead of myself right here, but that's all right. Colossians 1:20 said, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Amen. How do you, listen, there's only one way to get out of that wicked list and get into the list of those that have been saved by the grace of God. You've got to go by Calvary. You've got to go by the cross. I know this is simple, but it's a blessing to me. Amen. There is the pursuit of peace, and there's the people of peace. God's people. And I want to tell you, friend, as saved people, you know what? Listen, Lord, I wrote this down. This statement right here, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked, Brother Craddock. That statement right there should do away with all envy and all jealousy over sinners, of saved people toward sinners. Why would I want to be envious of somebody? Amen. Why would I want to be jealous of somebody that God said they don't have peace? But Brother James, what is most young people do in our church? In fact, not just young people, what is a lot of the young adults do in our church? They pattern their life. They're envious of movie stars. They're envious of sports stars that wouldn't give Jesus the time of day. Are you listening? And they pattern their life after them. They're covetous after what they've got. They would love to have their autographs. They'd love to have their notoriety. They'd love to have their popularity. When God plainly says that crowd don't have peace. Amen. That's right. Yeah. Should do away with all the jealousy and envy of that saints have toward lost people. That's right. And the entertainment world is killing us spiritually, killing our churches. Can't get excited about the things of God because most people are so hooked on entertainment. They're so hooked on the television and hooked on the amen. I mean mesmerized. People are mesmerized. Amen. I mean you can't even carry on a conversation with them sometimes. Lisa says I'm that way if I'm watching a good hunting show. She'll be talking to me. Say amen, Brother Webb. You feel something back there? She'll be talking to me, and I'm just like, I mean, they're fixing to shoot it, you know. I don't want to miss that. And she'll say, hello, Wall. Hello, Wall. Just like, well, I might as well be talking to a wall. Well, I was just mesmerized by that. Amen. That just goes to show you the power of the eye gate. The power of the eye gate. Amen. And people, so listen, they're so hooked up on that. But I'm not envious. I don't want to be envious of that wicked crowd. Amen. I'm not envious of them. I wouldn't swap places with none of them. I wouldn't, honestly, before the Lord, I wouldn't step down from preaching in this pulpit right here at Rogersville Baptist Temple to be the president of the United States. If y'all would give me leave, though, for 30 days, and they'd let me have it for 30 days, that's all I'd want it. If I could keep from being assassinated, I'd come back after 30 days, and we'd have a different country. Amen. But don't hold your breath. That's probably not going to happen. But amen. I'm not envious of that crowd. Why, young people, should you not be envious of the crowd that's out there and covetous of that crowd and pattern your life after that crowd? God says why. There's no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Amen. The pursuit of peace, the people of peace. Number three, write it down, is the price of peace. I've already dealt with it. Peace is not free. I mean, it's free to us, but it wasn't free. Amen. The peace and liberty we have in this country, it's free to us, but it wasn't free. It cost somebody. Amen. Brother Trav and all those that serve in military, thank God Thank God. For, I tell you, if I see somebody in Walmart or filling up their gas tank or whatever, and they've got some kind of indication on them that they're a veteran, I always go over and commend them. I was in Academy Sports down in South Carolina the other day, and there was a fellow in a wheelchair. Had on a veteran's hat and his pins and all of that. And I made it a point to just, I probably talked to him for 30 minutes. Just commending him for fighting for our country and so we could have freedom. And you could tell it just blowed him away. Because most of that crowd thinks that nobody cares. They don't care that they lost limbs and that they suffer with mental problems as a result and nervous problems and things of that nature because of paying the price. And many of them, listen, didn't come back to be in a wheelchair or lame or whatever. Many of them gave their life, amen, so that we could be saved, we could have freedom. But that's nothing. They could pay the price, Brother Preston, for us to have freedom as a country, but they couldn't set us free from the law of sin and death. Jesus Christ and Him alone could do that. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Thank God for the blood of His cross. Amen. Of course, that brings us to our last thought, and we certainly couldn't preach on peace without mentioning the Prince of Peace. How could you talk about the peace of God and not mention the Prince of Peace? Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6, he's given the names of our Lord several hundred years prior to Matthew's gospel. And here's what he said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and I like this, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, amen. There's two terms that are mentioned. One's mentioned in Romans 5:1, and it's called the peace with God. But then in Philippians 4:7, there's a term mentioned, the peace of God. And I'm glad that through Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and Him alone, can you define peace. Because He's the Prince of Peace. You have the peace with God, and then you have the peace of God. The peace with God comes through the price Christ paid for our sins. But the peace of God that you have comes through your choices and through your obedience and through your listening to the Lord and following His leadership. You can be saved and not have peace, the peace of God. You can be born again and not have the peace of God. Get out of fellowship with God, what goes? Peace. Not peace with God. That's my judicial standing. That's my standing with the Lord. I've been made and declared righteous before God. I've been made accepted in the Beloved through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's like Brother Josh Calloway preached up there. He said, God asked of me to become His son, but I couldn't do it. God asked of you to become His son or daughter, His child, if you will, but you couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. So what did God do? God gave us His Son so that we could get in His Son in Christ. The Spirit of God at the moment of salvation baptizes you into the body of Christ. And that's how you're accepted with God. You're in Christ. If you're outside of Christ, you're not accepted. So God asked us, amen. God asked us to be a child of God, but we couldn't do it. So we had to get in Christ. We had to get in His Son to be accepted as a child of God. But then He asked us to serve Him and to do His will, but we couldn't do that either. So God sent His Son to get in us. To become a child of God, we had to get in Christ. But for us to do the will of God, Christ had to get in us and empower us. Though I'm glad for the peace of God. Listen, you realize in Colossians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 15, it gives that verse of scripture where it said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. The peace of God rule. That word rule is a word where we get the word referee. Let the peace of God blow the whistle on you. My Uncle Joe Chapman, He acquainted me with that verse and that truth years and years ago. And he said, you don't make your decisions off what you can see. You make your decisions off of peace. If you don't have no peace, you better not force the issue. Of course, I was Brother Greg, I was Pastor Enoch Baptist Church then, my first church. And of course, you know, it was we was in the thick of it and all of those kinds of things. And he said, you know, brother, my Uncle Joe, he said, you better let the peace of God rule. You better let the peace of God blow the whistle on you. If you're out of bounds and that peace is disturbed, he said, God, that's God's way of letting you know you're going in the wrong direction. It's God's way of letting you know you're about to mess up. And boy, I've seen that to be true. It may look one way, but the peace made it feel another. Brother Fultz, what I could reason out, it may look like, oh, that's a good thing. That may be the will of God. Amen. But there was no peace. I remember, my wife knows all this, but I was engaged. I was engaged when I got saved. I was engaged to a girl. Of course, I was lost. She was lost. She's still lost. And, of course, I didn't really have to pray about that. God took her out of my life. I mean, she just didn't want to go walk the paths of righteousness. She didn't want to undo that. Well, then, when I was preaching a revival over in Newport, we went there in 81 with a two-week tent meeting. And Lisa met her true love. And then we went back in 82 and preached a five-week meeting because she needed a lot of preaching. And I had a girlfriend then. I wasn't engaged, but I was praying. I mean, she was, for all I knew, was a godly girl. For all Lisa knew, she was a godly girl. And she knew her. And beat her time. I mean, she just took care of business. But what I'm saying was, it wasn't what I could see, Brother Craddock, that turned me from that. You know, to move that one out and move the other one in. It was that peace. The other one looked like it was okay. Looked like it might be the will of God. Go to a good church, you know, and everything. No peace. Amen. That's right. Well, you better pay attention to the peace of God. Why? Because it'll rule. It'll blow the whistle on you. God chooses best because he knows best. The peace of God, the person of peace, the source of peace comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know that's, and of course, there's the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Jesus said in John 14, 27, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe? He said, let me get that verse. Let me get it right now. Let me get it right. I've quoted that verse for years. He said, how's that go, Brother Craig? My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you see what Jesus said to his disciples? My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth. So that shows you right there, the world can give you a false peace. The world can give you a false peace. I told a lady one time in Bible college, actually she was in my class, and she was liking this boy, and I knew him and I knew her, and still know both of them. And we was walking down the hallway of Tabernacle Bible College. Brother Frank, we was walking down the hallway, and I was talking to her about this boy, and I know him. I'm still friends with him today, both of them, in fact. And I said something to her about peace. Do you have peace about this thing? And she said, yeah, I got peace. I said, is it from the Lord, or did you make it up? If you want something bad enough, you'll create some peace. And she got so tore up, she dropped all of her books right there in the hall. I mean, they just, whoom, and papers went everywhere. I said, well, looks like you got an answer from the Lord tonight. I kind of laughed about it. I thought it was funny. But listen, let the peace of God rule in your heart. God said, I'm going to give you my peace. Not as the world giveth, give unto you. You think about Jesus and how he had peace through all of his persecution and troubles and trials and hardship and adversity. That same peace, Miss Betty, he gives to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's how and that's how we can face tomorrow, is that we've got peace from the Lord. Amen? Amen. In fact, Ephesians 2 and verse 14, the Bible said, he is our peace. Amen. I'm glad of that. Let's all stand to our feet.